Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No, man, it was just a small sample. You know, we got a lot more baseball to play. And I think we just, you know, we just getting started. I think, you know, we just continue to pick one another up and continue to have fun, I think. You know, the chips are late, you know, however.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Tim Anderson, and we are delighted to welcome in Jason Benetti. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Jason.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, I just want to start by telling you, and I've met you, but I'm sure you don't remember me at all, but you and I are great friends because we watch the games together. And I'm sure you get that from a lot of people. I'm sure the familiarity that comes from your broadcasting of baseball games makes you a friend to a lot of people you don't realize you're tight with.
Well, first of all, I do remember, and I appreciate you saying that. And we have this very honorable and humbling position, and I don't say that lightly. I know people say I'm humbled often. But to know that people can only get the games through us this year, it gives us a very interesting season and a duty to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make the experience as good and fun and joyous as possible in a really weird time we're living in. So I really do appreciate you saying that.
So as you interact with fans, Jason, and I know you do it a lot, this week has been kind of disappointing for White Sox fans. What has been your most used explanation and why?
Yeah, I even shudder to say explanation because I think the games kind of spoke for themselves because the Sox went down early in the first inning. I mean, all four losses, they trail in the first inning. And then you look at the lineup and Eloy Jimenez is out and Mazar is out. And I think when you look at the lineup from Wednesday, the last day in Cleveland, and you see Eloy Jimenez and you see Grandal and you see Encarnacion, you look at that lineup and you say, there probably aren't a lot of 1-4s in this team simply because of the depth of the lineup. So to me, the doubleheader in Cleveland was something of an aberration because when you take Jimenez out of the lineup, it's a different deal. And Moncada was out one of those days too. So you can't keep getting down in the first inning either. So, right. You know, Stoney and I almost, I brought it up jokingly at first about an opener sort of situation. But when you get down in the first inning all the time, you start to look for solutions that really aren't solutions. So, yeah, my solution is don't get down in the first inning, which is easy to say. But then when you see a young pitching staff, one of my thoughts is, hey, maybe it's all first start stuff for guys either coming back from injury or who are young starters. So that would be my hope. And then the other part of it is you are facing the teams that most people thought would be number one and then likely your best competition for number two in the division.
You know, we were talking about it earlier this morning, Jason, and one of the things that's on my mind quite a bit is with Ronaldo Lopez out with the sore shoulder, you know, that's not good, and you obviously hate losing a starter. But to me, Jimmy Lambert suffering that forearm strain, that sent a shockwave through me a little bit because he's a guy coming back from Tommy John. Obviously, Rodon's a guy coming back from Tommy John. Maybe it helps explain some of the reluctance that Michael Kopech had, reportedly not just the personal issues, but also an issue of ramping up and getting that he was a little worried about that. And it makes me wonder if Dane Dunning would need more time to kind of ramp up. You know, it's almost like the one thing put a lot of pitching questions in my mind.
Yeah, that one thing certainly can do that. And the one what I would say to that as well is guys like Steven Strasburg and Justin Verlander, and we have seen rampant pitcher injuries early in this season. And so I wonder about everybody's ability to do this 60-game sprint with the ramp-up time that they had. So I don't even think it's endemic to the Sox in any way, shape, or form. It's simply that across the board, we might see a bigger incidence of pitcher injuries this season. And we might not, but the early returns are that it seems like we are going to see something like that. So it's about doing everything you can to keep him healthy, and that puts more onus on a training staff than actually is available to be preventative with, because I just think these things are going to happen. Stoney said it from day one on this season, and I agree with him.
I thought you and Steve did a really good job of breaking down Luis Robert's at bat when he had the single up the middle against the Indians the other day, which was a key hit. I guess overall there have been so many different things you could point to, but in the first week, what has impressed you the most about Robert?
I think it's that I tweeted yesterday his 8 hits by location and by pitch type. He's got 5 hits on balls in the zone. Like, he hasn't missed mistakes for the most part. He's got 3 hits on balls out of the zone. The 2 fastballs he's got hits on were out of the strike zone. And I was running the numbers yesterday before I saw on Twitter, but he's seen the most breaking balls of any Sox hitter. And according to a tweet I saw, he's seen like the least fastballs in Major League Baseball through 6 games. So to me, the most impressive thing about him, though, and I've said this from day one on the intra-squad games, is it looks reckless, right? Like running into Leury Garcia to catch a ball in right field proper looks reckless. But I think in the end, it's a really good sign that he has such command of center field. That's the most impressive thing to me, is his self-belief in playing defense this early in a career. Because there's no, like, deference to the other guys. He feels like he's the best guy out there, and frankly, he's right most of the time. I mean, he and Adam Engel, you get the feeling that they could cover the outfield alone. So I do think the defense is the most impressive part to me, just because of how much self-confidence there is in it.
I got to tell you, I've been talking about the idea that Eloy is calling the ball a lot, sometimes on just like normal fly balls, because this guy, he at one point there was like a line drive hit to center and he was on his horse and he had to reach behind him to catch the ball, because he's just, his first step is incredible. And it is a joy. And we can't talk about his career-long hitting streak for fear of getting into a problem with it. But I'm overjoyed to see a guy come up and have that kind of impact immediately. And I advocate moving him up in the lineup.
You know, I said in the last game in Cleveland, in the doubleheader, the second game in the doubleheader, that I don't think he's going to end up hitting 7th for very long, simply because I agree with you. I mean, the adjustment he made on that slider was ridiculous. But that play you're talking about, there were 2 of them where he basically overran a ball in the alley because he's too fast. And I opened up my email the next morning, and I look, and the StatCast notes that come in our emails, That was an alleged 4-star catch for StatCast. So it was not an easy play for most center fielders, and he overplayed it with his speed. I mean, I knew he overran it, and then I look, and StatCast called it like a very high-level play. And I was like, guys, he ran past the spot. Can you give him another star?
You know, Jason, this week, as you have noticed, Nicky Delmonico has received a lot of attention for where he has batted in the lineup and the fact that he's been in the lineup at all. What's been your reaction to the reaction. And I guess how do you think, you know, how do you handle it when you see things in the lineup that you don't quite or you might not quite get, or you might you know is going to elicit that kind of response?
Yeah, it's usually easy for me after the game to go down and sit in the manager's office and get a feel for what Ricky was doing in that scenario, because he'll tell me, and I just don't have that ability this year. So I don't have the strong sense of what my sense of what Ricky was doing that day with the lineup was reacting to the three batter minimum rule in some way. It's not the lineup that I know a lot of Sox fans wanted to see. I know Luis Robert is, and you got McCann down there as well. My feeling is, and I'm not saying that this would have been my decision either, right? But my feeling is that it was based on the left-right situation to do something like that. I don't know what the reason was. I wish I was able to go down into the clubhouse and give you a better reason, because my instinct is, you know, based on what I was seeing, fan reaction, like, that's not at all what anybody wanted to see. And, you know, nobody cares if that's the lineup that I would have built or not, because I'm not the manager of the team. So all I can say is it was one game and it didn't work out. But it seems to me that Ricky and some of the other managers around the league are reacting to the three-batter minimum rule, and they're trying to add balance for scenarios later in the game, balance lefty-righty. And again, all I can say is nobody really cares what lineup I would have written out. The only time people cared about the lineup that I was writing out was when Chuck and I were doing simulations on MLB The Show, and we hit Encarnacion first, and the Sox went like 42-9 in 51 games, but that was a cartoon. So all I can say is managers have their reasons, and I wasn't able to go down there and ask specifically in one of those settings where he and I could talk about it. So I don't firmly know the reasoning, but my belief would be that his reasoning would have been for balance purposes.
Do they have their best team there right now? It just seems to me, and I don't know when it happens, but when Madrigal comes up, and if he plays, you got Leury now as an extra outfielder, and you got a good option in right field. And then meanwhile, I think Mazzara put a little show on. He put a Luis Robert type of batting practice, which gets him in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, regardless of how long he's been in the league. They got a couple of players that can help immediately, and I understand why they're not there, but how quickly will that happen, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, you would think that based on service time, we saw Pearson throw for the Blue Jays. I have heard that limit is right around now-ish, based on what people are saying around baseball. But I also think that based on what I was hearing from Chris Getz in the press conference he had yesterday, like I do think that the Sox think Madrigal, especially at second base, might need a little bit more in terms of just ramping up and seeing pitching this year. That's what I gleaned from what I heard yesterday. So I don't know when Mazzara comes back either off the injured list, but I do think that the lineup gets even deeper when you see him in there. And then whenever Madrigal gets here, obviously we know what his hit tool is projected to do. So, you look at the Sox lineup from Wednesday in Cleveland, and it's just much deeper than we saw Tuesday in Cleveland. So I think there's an upward trajectory there when everybody's healthy, obviously. And I'm excited to see what this three-game series in Kansas City brings, because truly, those Cleveland pitchers were nasty, and Minnesota's offense is scary, and the Sox are striving to be both of those.
Jason, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Guys, thanks.
That's Jason Benetti. I really am enjoying the broadcast. You know, what I love about Jason is how much he uses Steve Stone in the correct way. You know what I mean? I want to hear more of when Stoney's breaking stuff down. They do a great job with that. They got a lot of personality. They're having fun. But I love when I'm told something is going to happen before it happens, and he does it as well as anyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.